Yo, what is up, listeners? Welcome back to the Low Traction Show. This is TG coming to you from Miami, where every aggressive driver don't just drive Nissan Altimas. But seriously, though, recently I got a few very annoying experiences with some other drivers on the road. And then these two times, particularly, they were both Audi drivers. Audi, one of them was driving an Audi A6. It was a brand new car. It looks pretty fresh. The other one was driving a little bit older, probably two generations prior, Audi A4. One of them was at night. The guy driving the A6, I mean, he might be drunk or whatever, but he was literally just changing lane and like swerving through traffic on the local road when everybody was going like 30 miles per hour. And then he apparently needs to be somewhere really quick and just decided to turn. But it's okay. I mean, I'm driving slowly, so you can do whatever the fuck you want. You can pass me on either side. You can go ahead, and I don't care, right? I usually don't get into that kind of road rage with anybody. But this guy, he tried to turn right and cut me off. But when he was trying to do that, another car was turning left from my other side. And then those two are merging into literally the same lane in front of me. So the guy suddenly realized, oh shit, there's some obstacle. Somebody is coming in at the same time. I may have a crash. So he stopped halfway. The other driver came through from the right-hand side. The Audi A6 on the left, he just stopped right in between. He's literally riding the white line in front of me. So he's not going anywhere because he has a car in front of him on the left. And I cannot go anywhere because he's like riding the fucking line in front of me. So I beeped at him and then he suddenly just decided to take off. And the other time it was just during daytime. So some Audi A4 driver decides to, you know, he's better than anybody, you know, on the highway on ramp. There's only, so usually my, you know, when I exit my home and go to the highway, the most common on ramp is a 3-lane road. The first lane goes to the left. It doesn't go onto the highway. The third lane goes to the right, also doesn't go onto the highway. And those are turning lanes only. So only the lane in the middle is able to get on the on-ramp to the highway. So usually it's a pretty long line. But obviously when this happens, people on both sides would decide, oh, they're better than everybody else. So they just cut off. They'll just like drive all the way to the front and just cut everybody off. Which is also fun. I've done that once or twice, just when, you know, when I wasn't paying attention or when I sort of drove into the wrong lane. I don't really mind it, but like sometimes people are just getting way too aggressive. Like they just fucking rush all the way from behind you. You hardly notice them from your rearview mirrors. Like you're getting on the highway. Usually you don't worry about, you know, behind what's behind you. And then it just cuts right into the on-ramp right before the sort of ramp, you know, started. So those kind of incidences made me wonder, like, why do people drive so fucking aggressively on the roads these days? I've never seen some Audi drivers before. I mean, look, there are a lot of stereotypical sort of misconceptions, call them misconceptions or, you know, stereotypes about certain drivers in certain makes. A lot of people jokingly say that the Nissan drivers, especially the Nissan sort of beat up sedan drivers, like a Nissan Altima or a Nissan Maxima, those drivers are usually the biggest assholes on the roads. I mean, there's some truth to that, I think. I've seen a few Nissan drivers in my life. They are pretty aggressive. I don't know why. Some people try to explain this by saying, hey, the Nissan cars are actually pretty sporty. They are plenty fast. They are pretty lightweight. And they actually handle pretty well. So these drivers are equipped with, you know, all the tools they need to either drive really fast or drive really aggressively. And usually these cars are missing a bumper, missing some paint, and they have dents everywhere, so they don't really care. It's already dented, it's already not perfect. When they are driving fast, if they scratch something, they don't fucking care. So that's another reason why. But I think a lot of this is, I mean, if you look it up, right? If you seriously study this thing, there are multiple super long, super in-depth articles online that you can find that talks about the psychology of driving. You can go ahead and study that. I'm not gonna really sort of spend too much time on that. We're not a science show here. We're not a psychology show. But most of it is basically talking about, oh, when you're in a car, you somewhat feel anonymous. So nobody know who you are, I guess, until you fucking break the law and hit somebody else, right? Then you realize everybody knows who you are. But when you're driving aggressively, nobody knows who you are. and everybody is in their cars, so you can't really communicate, which adds to the frustration. Well, you're frustrated and you can't communicate, and there's no consequences for you for behaving badly, for behaving aggressively. So the natural sort of reaction to it is just fucking do it, right? Just drive aggressively. Nobody's gonna catch you and identify you. So when you're anonymous, the cost to do anything bad or to commit something that is aggressive, the cost is much lower.
Look, all these psychological concepts are very interesting and fascinating. You can read these studies on your own time, and I'm sure you will be very much intrigued. But those are not the main things I want to discuss today. Today, I'm going to try to attribute a lot of people's aggressive driving behavior on roads today. You know, the key word here is today, in the current times, during the modern period, within the past, say, 10, 15 years, maybe even shorter, within the past 5 to 10 years. Let's just call it that, because I don't know what happens before that. I wasn't here as a driver. I mean, I was here on Earth, but I wasn't a driver here. Anyways, I want to try to attribute people's aggressive driving behavior to something else other than psychology. And I think that has something to do with the Germans. Hear me out. I recently bought a car. After I sold my IS500, which is a great sports sedan, 472 horsepower, 5-liter V8, goes like a fucking bat out of hell, and it's also very comfy, drives really smooth, and you can be super aggressive with that car if you want to on the road, right? So the reason, you know, like I explained in one of my previous episodes, one of the biggest reasons why I sold that car was because I don't use it a lot. I don't get to drive it very much. And it's just sitting there depreciating in value. Another thing that I really don't, you know, obviously as a car enthusiast, it's diabolical for me to say I hate power. I don't hate power, but in a city like Miami, where there's always traffic everywhere you go, there's not a lot of great driving road. There's no mountains. There's no elevation whatsoever. The highest point in Miami in terms of driving is probably on top of that highway. Other than that, you're not driving up or down anything. It's flat everywhere. It's basically, you're literally traveling around a city built on a swampland. So everything is flat. You know, against that kind of backdrop, driving a very powerful car, or, you know, driving a very powerful vehicle, it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. Sometimes you can just let it go for like 2 seconds on the highway on ramp, and then you're already at speed limit or above. If you keep driving like that, you're going to easily break the law, or you're going to run into somebody else because there's other cars on the road. You can always take those cars on track, you know, but that's a different story. I'm talking about everyday driving here. So that's part of the reason why I think the car had a lot of horsepower, which is great, but only about 30% of that horsepower is usable on a daily basis. And that's a problem. Paying for and keeping all that horsepower for a lot of people is important because, number one, you know, you get to really brag about it for sure. You can tell people that your car has 500, 600 horsepower, which is great. At the end of the day, when you are driving in the daily situation, you're not getting to your destination anytime quicker or sooner than the guy in the car next to you. Scientifically speaking, the speed you go through traffic is not dependent on the horsepower you have. It's going to be dependent on how fast the traffic flows. It doesn't really matter. Traffic and congestion doesn't give a fuck how much horsepower you have. It's useless. And that's one of the reasons why I chose to buy a much older, a much less powerful car instead. So after I sold my IS500, I actually bought another Saab. Surprise, surprise. I bought a 1989 Saab 9000. Look, I already told everybody that, you know, Saab 9000 is one of the cars that has a really, it's got a sweet spot in my heart. I like the shape of it. I like the fact that it has the very understated look. It basically looks like a fucking, you know, for lack of a better word, a Jetta from that era, right? If you think about the old sort of Chinese Jetta taxis, I mean, if you're a non-car guy, you can't really tell, right? What's the difference between a 1989 Jetta versus a 1989 Saab 9000? They are exactly the same shit. But on the inside, this car really excels, right? So when it came from the factory, it's got all leather interior. The leather is so fucking great. I'm sure when the car came out, this was pretty expensive. This car was actually a luxury car when it came out. It was competing against a lot of these European luxury sedans at the time. I have had this car for a few weeks now. I've driven it only on weekends, so I've only driven it, you know, probably less than 100 miles in total. My experience with this car is still a little bit limited, but I've already come to a very interesting realization about driving and about people's behavior on roads. See, when you drive this car, it's got a lot of limitations. Number one, it's old. Number two, it's not very powerful. Number three, it's actually manual transmission. Number four, this thing gives you a lot of feedback. By that, I mean the steering is heavy. You know, it's power assisted, but it's still very heavy. It's probably just really old sort of hydraulic systems. Not really old, but just really aged. Keep in mind, this car is like 35 years old. So when you turn it, it requires a lot of input. And when the wheels actually hit anything, either like a bump or anything on the road, you actually get a lot of feedback on your steering wheel. That's number one. Number two, when you try to turn, the car actually has a lot of body roll, has a significant amount of body roll. And body roll, if you're not familiar with the car, like, you know, I'm not familiar with this one just yet. I've only had it for a few weeks. So when you try to drive really fast and turn at the same time, the body roll comes in, you start to lose a little bit of confidence in the car. So naturally, you slow down a little bit. And that made me realize, if the car feels really planted, really stable, really level, and really numb to a certain extent, people who are operating those machines don't feel too scared, or there's not a lot of risk involved in however you drive that car. If you drive a really, really fast, really good, really sporty car, these days that include all the sporty SUVs as well. Sometimes, you know, the heavy duty trucks can be very sporty too. When you drive those sporty cars these days, in the modern days, everybody has pretty much the same, you know, chassis tuning and engine sort of philosophy. You know, you put a bunch of power in there, either it's turbocharged or naturally aspirated, or it's EV, even worse. Like, EVs are even more numb, even fewer feedback. So as a driver, it's almost like you're operating a drone. You might as well be playing a video game at home, and this is the car that you are driving on the screen. You know what I mean, right? When you are playing a video game on a controller on your PS5, you don't care if the car scratches with anybody else or runs into the barrier. It doesn't hurt you. You don't have any feedback. You don't feel any sympathy for others around you. You don't feel any empathy or mechanical empathy for the car you're driving. So that's the problem, right? Modern cars are engineered so well, especially when the Germans first invented the idea of a sports sedan. When the Germans started to homologate racing cars and started to test passenger cars on the fucking Nürburgring, I think that's when the problem actually originated. They made these cars way too stable, way too sporty. You know, the road holding ability was way too good for passenger cars. Compare that to American cars from all the way after, you know, World War II through 1970s. They have muscle cars, you know, they have fast cars, they have a lot of really powerful machines and engines, but the famous American land yachts, they can't make turns. When they turn, it's almost like, you know, you might as well be driving on water in a boat. That kind of feedback, or a little bit of a compromise, you know, when the driver feels that the car is rolling and tires are gripping and almost losing grip, you tend to see a little bit more risk associated with your driving behavior. Like I said, these days, the cars are engineered so good. Like in the IS500, the first week I had it, I'm already driving way above speed limit on the highways, even around bends and turns. I don't care because the car can hold it. I know it could. All the reviewer on the internet told me that it could. So I was driving like an asshole, right? I was driving really fast. I was overtaking everybody else. I was, you know, using the manual shifts. So I wasn't really a very considerate driver. Now I'm driving this 35-year-old machine, which has a manual transmission. You know, I feel a little bit more careful. I'm also more engaged because I spend time shifting the car. I'm not on my phone. One time I brought a cup of coffee with me in the car. But when I'm driving, I forgot about a coffee because I have to be constantly shifting through traffic. And then I'm looking at the road. I'm not listening to anything. I'm very concentrated on the act of driving. That also reduces errors and stupid behaviors. You are super alert. Like, imagine a situation where you actually experience road rage. A lot of times you're not instigating the road rage. You're just being cut off. You're just being surprised by somebody else. Imagine if you are looking at your phone and you're driving, somebody all of a sudden cut you off. That's going to surprise you real good. But instead, if you are not holding on your phone or putting makeup on your face or eating a cup of noodles while you're driving, you're shifting gears, you're engaged, you're steering, you have a lot of feedback, your eyes are on the road, you're concentrated. When somebody cuts you off, you are actually already more alerted, so you don't feel too surprised by the act of other drivers. That also reduces the chances of your road rage. Am I not right? The reason why I say I blame the Germans is because obviously they were one of the first pioneers in sports dance, and then that tradition has passed on. Everybody wants to test their road cars on the fucking Nürburgring. Everybody wants their cars to be badass. But after driving so many cars, I'm not sure if that's a good thing. These days, you can, if you have the money, you can buy. I mean, you don't even need a lot of money to buy a fast car. You can buy a Tesla Model 3, and that thing goes from 0 to 60 in about 3 seconds. Even the sort of the single motor ones, right? The high performance ones can go into 60 miles in the 2 seconds range. So that's insane. And I've test driven all these electric cars, all the newfangled stuff these days. They're great at doing straight line speed. They're also pretty good at rope holding and turning and dynamics. So they're very stable. They're very sporty stance and sporty SUVs. But they are super numb, right? They make you feel like you're operating something that is so isolated from yourself. Like you can almost remove yourself from this driving scenario. Going back to the drone pilot comparison or the PS5 player comparison, like you're very removed from the act of driving yourself. So you don't feel bad when you do something stupid. You don't actually get the feedback when you do something stupid. Imagine if I drive this 35-year-old car and try to swerve through traffic. I'm going to be beat up, right? The car is going to be shaking me left and right, front and back. I have to do a lot of downshifting. I have to do a lot of really engaged driving. It's going to be very tired. It's not going to be easy. Manual transmissions are dying. They are going away. A lot of people, you know, 99% of people rely on automatic transmission. That makes your life easier, obviously, but it also gives you the excuse of get the power you need on demand. If you're driving a manual shift car, you're in the top gear, you want to accelerate and overtake somebody, you still have to downshift first. That takes a little bit of more action. You know, it takes a few more steps. Now everything is super easy. Everything is at your fingertips or at your sort of at the tip of your toe. You can literally just press the button or press the pedal and the car just flies away. I think overall, these things add to aggressive behaviors on the road. Tell me if I'm thinking about this incorrectly. As a car guy, I hate to admit it that the modern cars have been developed in a way and they have progressed in such a way that it continues to diminish the driving engagement such that the drivers don't understand the consequence of their behaviors anymore. Not as well as they used to. And I think that's one of the hidden issues that people don't talk about enough. People don't realize that these things are actually potentially dangerous. 66%, two-thirds of all the traffic fatalities are caused by road rage. And these numbers keep going up every year, in the US at least. I'm sure it's the same pattern worldwide. And because there's more congestions in cities, there's more cars and traffic on the roads, We, the people like myself who live in Miami, and we rely on cars as the only mode of, almost the only mode of personal transportation, we tend to spend more and more times in our cars. And that also adds to the risk of traffic incidents or risks associated with driving, and also consequently more opportunities for road rages. So those things, I don't think you can just look at them from a psychological point of view, but also you have to look objectively at the equipment that we are operating these days and how they have evolved to a point where the power it possesses, the capability it possesses, sometimes may be detrimental to the safety on road. I can't believe I'm saying this, actually. As a car guy, when I was a kid, growing up, I always admire, I always just aspire to own and drive some of the fastest cars in the world. I always want the cars to be great at what they do. I love the race cars of the world. I love to watch Formula One. I love to watch rally. I enjoy cars going fast. I enjoy cars going fast around the corners. I enjoy cars having great dynamic features. But these days, after these years of experience of driving and also just thinking about these things and comparing these new and old stuff, I just don't know if this continuous evolution towards faster and more powerful, more faster acceleration is necessarily a good thing for people, for us drivers, motorists. So that's some food for thought for today. And hopefully I'm not saying something that is so controversial that you are losing interest to what I'm talking about. I'm sure I'm going to lose a few subscribers because I'm talking some nonsense here. A lot of people will probably think this is nonsense, but maybe it's me just getting older. Maybe it's just me, you know, spending too much time on old machines that don't really operate very well. But I really think sometimes we need to be cautious about these things and be a little bit more mindful of what we do with the very capable machines that we have these days. I limited my discussion today to the sports sedans and sporty SUVs and really fast cars. But don't even get me started on the huge trucks and huge SUVs on truck chassis. Those are literally moving pieces of weapon on the road. They are even more dangerous than anything else. Don't even get me started on that. I get it. America, you know, you have to drive your trucks and whatnot, but come on. It's a bunch of regulation that is so behind the time, and lobbyists trying to get their way. And, you know, it's a lot of loopholes with the rules and regulations, and that resulted in the popularity of trucks and whatnot. But anyways, I'm not going to get into that again because we've already covered that in one of our previous episodes. So I'm going to end right there before I go into even more negative territories about car ownership and car driving and being a motorist. Anywho, I hope today's show was something that we can discuss. So whether you agree or disagree, please feel free to leave a comment, and I'll be sure to read them and discuss them in the following shows. As always, I hope you guys enjoy what you're driving. And it's the summertime, so definitely take your cars out and enjoy them. But don't be assholes on the roads, please. Bye. See you next time. He comes for conversation. I comfort him sometimes. Comfort and consultation. He knows that's what he is.